Hello, this is astrologer Shelley Antine, and I'm here to discuss the new moon in Aries, which is the second new moon in Aries. Depending on where you are on the planet, it comes in April 19th or 20th of 2023, and it's coming in for the Eastern time zone here at 12:13 a.m. on Thursday the 20th. And this is an eclipse that will not be seen in the United States, okay? In fact, looking it up, it's also what they call a hybrid eclipse. It's a rare formation where you don't have the full blockage of the sun, but you do have a piece sort of bitten out of it by the moon. You know, we're used to seeing those, you know, ones where you have a black spot in the middle with sometimes nothing around it but a tiny little bit of light, and then sometimes a nice spread out of light. But this isn't one of them. Anyway, this is also going to be visible in parts of the Pacific and Indian Ocean regions. This is like the main location. And it will also be visible from Western Australia and Eastern Indonesia. All right. And so this is what I say always, that this is a time that I would rather not be under the shadow and able to see an event in the sky, because it means that we can expect to find some issues in those places that are under particularly the exact shadow, which are the places that I mentioned. And there are some that are seeing less of it that go all the way up to the edge of China and Japan, you know, and the rest of Australia and those islands in Southeast Asia, but, and probably New Zealand, I think, is on there too. But the exact shadow is, as we have learned, I think, in the United States, very telling in what it's going to be bringing. And it will be something major. And last year's eclipses were affecting the Antarctica region. And we are reading here and there, and with more and more alarm bells sounding, about the breaking down of that ice and what will happen if we have a big chunk that looks like it might be getting ready to do this, you know, kind of break off, because the levels of the water in the, particularly at this point, Atlantic Ocean will rise significantly, like enough to say, hey, get off the coastline in a hurry if you can make it. So again, having an eclipse right over you isn't always telling something terrific. You know, it's not like a jump up and down. And we had that famous one in August of 2017 that's cut our country in half from the northwest down to off the coast of, I believe it was South Carolina. And I think we saw a significant polarity happening then, and it just got more so. And this particular eclipse is once again a new moon in Aries. This is the second new moon in Aries this year. And we have Jupiter with it, with Eris, goddess of discord. And there's a kind of a widespread, but Chiron is still in Aries here too. So there is a lot of focus on this sign, which oddly enough is going to be our north node when we get to the nodal shift, Aries. So I think this is one of the reasons there's such a focus on it, because as humans, we don't handle Aries too well right now. If you look outside, I mean, you know, the polarity has increased argument and rage and violent activities, a lot of other things in the world, not just in the United States, have also had this polarity rising, and basically people are frightened. I mean, if you see Aries acting in a negative way, bottom of it is fear. And so, you know, we have to understand this and try to look at it. When we are provoked, easily provoked, the Aries is that fire that is the match that you just light and it goes red hot, but it's actually white hot with a blue sort of a quality to it. And that's what starts, you know, the conflict. It's fast. It doesn't think a lot about what it's doing. And so it's also a sign of leadership. And we've already seen in the world a couple of world leaders, one in particular who has been affected by these eclipses, who really thought that a war could be started and won in 3 days now. You know, we have actually, you know, moved on from the age of colonialism, but there are people who have that need to be an expanded leader, Jupiter in Aries, you know, bigger than everybody else ever was as a leader. And so this is the drive, you know, kind of behind it. So, you know, we're looking at this and, you know, again, it is going to be affecting on the world stage, and yet, fortunately, right now, I think for the United States, it isn't right over us. But it sure feels like it is sometimes. And there will be shifts and changes. There always are. In the solar eclipse, we're always looking at a shift and change in the outer world, which is like the ending of something, but the beginning. There's a new doorway that's ready to open. And, you know, the idea of major change is disturbing to most people, unless you happen to be in a situation where you're longing for it and it finally happens. But for the most part, people like to stay with the status quo. It's the nature of humans. You know, we're very attached to certain things. It's part of our nature. And so it's not that easy, unless you have a lot of fire energy and air energy, to make shifts and changes. So when somebody says there's going to be an ending and a new beginning, you know, a lot of people will go into the fear right away. Oh, what could it be? And yet, if we take time, and I had been encouraging people to do this over the last week or so, as we approach the eclipse, to get, you know, some kind of messages are coming in for you. There may be a place in your chart, particularly the place where Aries is falling in this 29 degrees, which is where the new moon is and the eclipse is on the 29th degree, the very last degree. This is the location where you may find yourself doing something different, something that you had been doing is changing, and something new is coming in. Now, Jupiter being with this eclipse is suggesting there may be a gift or a bonus in making this change. And even Eris, even though she is the goddess of discord, sometimes she's the discord of shaking the cage that needs to be shaken so that people can see things that they have been avoiding looking at, you know, or get something to happen, something done that needs to happen, and people have resisted it for a long time. So this is the nature of this, but again, Chiron being involved in this spread of Aries energy is also telling us that we are learning lessons and we are looking at old wounds within ourselves about expressing individual self, being told to tone it down, you know. I mean, I don't know how many children don't go through that at some point in time. But, you know, some people feel the wound more or more frequently than others do. But also, there's this huge push out there now, isn't there, to be able to express an identity, whether people are going to accept it or not. So this is why we see that also in the sense of the LGBTQ and the various pronouns and identities, because Aries is the first house, which is like the identity, the I am. So when you're saying I am, you know, one of the first identifiers that happens when a baby is born is the sexual nature of the baby. You know, you have a son, you have a daughter, you know. This is what happens. So now people are saying, wait a minute, I want to say what I am, and I'm letting you know now. So this is also a place where anger is coming up from others who don't like that, you know. So it's kind of a hard, it's a hard road to hoe right now, is this Aries road. And, you know, there are some people that are so frightened that they want to, you know, take us back to the dark ages of social acceptability on all fronts. And that's really the reason, is that we are moving forward. I mean, we don't go backwards. And yet people would, they think they would feel more comfortable if we did. And I know I have said many times in recent weeks and months that the world I knew is no longer here. In so many ways, this is true. So we're all having to deal with this new, this change, this radical change, so that something else can come into being. So while you are looking at where this may take place, you can also start to put your feelers out towards what it might be that is going to take its place. And as one of my friends likes to say, ask for the most benevolent outcome, you know, because the most benevolent outcome is probably not going to be bad, you know, like you won't feel it as terrible or negative, but it may shift your perception in order to accommodate it. One of the things that can help us do that during this time of the Aries solar eclipse is that Mercury, not quite yet, but getting ready and will be retrograde, probably pretty stationary at this time, is conjunct Uranus in Taurus. So the lower mind, which doesn't mean it's not okay or lesser, it means that it's in the realm of Earth, you know, instead of the realm of sky, the invisible realms. It is the lower mind that we need to process everything that, like, I'm trying to use Mercury now to give you this information. We use it constantly. And the Uranian energy is the intuitive flash of knowing. You know, so they are together right now at this time. So you can get a sense of what it is, and that it could be something, again, it could be something beneficial. It doesn't have to be negative. So what else is going on, we say? Well, the Mars energy in Cancer, which is passionate about security for the home and family and for the self, is also having a helpful sextile to Mercury and Uranus and Taurus. So there may be some things coming out that will make the Mars energy feel more reassured, even though there is a shift or a change involved. Saturn, at 4 degrees of Pisces, is making a sextile to the north node in Taurus and Vesta, what we will fight for and what's so important to us. And this can be our house, our possessions, our finances, those kinds of things that we hold dear, and our self-worth, our values. So Saturn is giving us some structures that also involve the Piscean energy, which is Neptunian, which is feelings and sensing and bringing in, you know, these ideas that, again, may be messages that are new but are going to be helpful for our evolutionary direction. Pluto remains at zero Aquarius and is squaring the nodal axis in Scorpio and Taurus. And Pluto in Aquarius is still relatively ambiguous to most of us. We've seen certain things already, but it isn't really going to get up to a lot before it retrogrades back into Capricorn, but we can say that we should be taking a look at the power of transformation in the future and how that will be affecting us. You know, we should not ignore this. I mean, I'm on a tiny little crusade about artificial intelligence, and, you know, you can read articles in Forbes magazine and stuff like that about, you know, people are warning about the possible ill effects of having too much and the unknown rate at which this AI is developing on its own after being created. So that's another thing. We need to look at that. Where is the power of Pluto going to be in Aquarius, which is electronic things, right? So, you know, it's really something to be weighing and measuring. And you as a consumer, again, have the ability to decide just how much you want to rely on these things, you know. And it's unfortunately true that humans like novelty and entertainment, and they also like not having to do that much for themselves. Like I, for one, so that you don't think I'm separating myself from these ideas, far from it. I, for one, used to dread going to the library to research. You know, this was in days gone by when you had to do things for school and there was only books to find and you were having to go somewhere to find them. Well, you know, I mean, just a little trip to Google and the world is at your feet, you know. I mean, this is much easier for me. And, you know, the fascination of certain things that I'm able to find out about, it's just, you know, I like it. It's easier for me. So it's not that, all, you know, and it's not that all things easier for you are not okay, except that we do know that they have a tendency to show you not everything that there is out there, but things that will kind of be resonating to what they've already discovered about you, your profile, quote unquote. So it's really kind of an interesting time. And with this eclipse, yes, we have the axis of our evolution with a square from Pluto. Yes. So Venus is in Gemini, where she's been for a little while now by the time of the eclipse. And she is relating at 10 degrees only, really, to Chiron. And so the words of love is something you can say with Venus in the sign of speech and communications are possible to be something that can help us with the wounds and to understand how to be an individual in a loving way and not have to be fighting about it, you know, not have to push the envelope in order to get people to listen and hear what you have to say. Maybe there's a softer way to do it, you know. And Venus loves getting new information also in Gemini. She does like that a lot. So getting a new way of communicating so that people are more accepting. She may help us with that. So another thing to know about the eclipses, we have not just got a momentary, this is one of the things, this is the difference between the regular monthly new moon, which quickly moves on to different lunar phases. Even though, yes, the moon will move on to different lunar phases, and not too long from now, both sun and moon will be in Taurus. What we are looking at is an orb of influence. We've been coming into it, and it can last up to 6 months. People who have exact connects, like you have planets or an ascendant or a midheaven that is close to or exactly on 29 degrees of Aries in terms of an aspect, you will feel the effects sooner. And if they happen to be a trine aspect or a sextile aspect, that may be great. If it's a certain house where you've been longing to have more energy go into it and be more dynamic, it could be great. But if it's an opposition, a conjunction, a square, you know, then you may feel it as more of a lesson learning experience. That's all, really, just learning. And the squares would come to planets in Cancer near that 29 degrees, and Libra and Capricorn, and of course, the conjunction is near 29 degrees of Aries if you have planets or an ascendant or midheaven in those places. The opposition is Libra, actually. The squares come from Cancer and Capricorn, but, you know, we will see how that goes, and if you have other planets that are relating. Like this particular lunar event, as I said, Jupiter is about 6 degrees away, and Eris is sitting at 24, Jupiter at 23. But that's, you know, for the sun and moon, that's close enough to be a conjunction, right? But for the Mars in Cancer, that's 16 degrees away, so that's not an aspect. So if you know your chart and you can look at it, then you can see for yourself if you've got things that are going to be more clearly evident sooner than 6 months from now. But if you want to know and you don't know how and you think you might need to know, you can contact me for a reading of your birth chart, where you will get this information and also other information that's relevant about changes that are happening with the planets now, like Saturn and Jupiter is going to go into Taurus. So you know how to contact me at my website address, shelley@shelleyantine.com. So that's what I have to say about the Aries solar eclipse, and I'll say goodbye for now.